The shir tonight is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha's Bow. And the title of the shir tonight is The Heart of Darkness. I want to address the makkah of Choshech tonight. We're going to try to understand it on a deeper level, what the purpose of the makkah was, what the ideas we can gain from the makkah are. So we'll take up from Shmos Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We'll go through the psukim on the makkah, and we'll try to understand philosophically what the purpose of the makkah was, of this makkah of Choshech. So I'm going to start with source number one on the sheets. It's Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and I'm going to read through. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe nete yadecha al hashamayim bi choshech al eretz mitraim v'yamesh choshech. So Hashem says to Moshe that he should outstretch his hands towards the heavens, and there'll be darkness on eretz mitraim, and the darkness will become darker. We'll explain what that means. Moshe is instructed to outstretch his hands and make this darkness. Vayet Moshe es yado al shamayim vayi choshech afilah b'chol eretz mitraim shloshes yamim. And Moshe does this, and there's a very gloomy type of darkness on eretz mitraim for 3 days. We're up to pasuk chaf gimel. Lo ra'u ish es achiv lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yamim ulchol bnei Yisrael hayor b'moshe vosom. They weren't able to see each other. They weren't able to stand up for 3 days. And Bnei Yisrael, they had light in their dwellings. Vayikra Paro al Moshe, vayomer l'chu yivdu es Hashem, rak tzonechem v'karchem yitzog, gam tapachem yelechem achem. Paro says to Moshe, go and serve Hashem. Only you have to leave the cattle, but you can even take your children. Vayomer Moshe, gam atah titein biyadenu zvachim v'olos v'asinu l'Hashem elokeinu. Moshe says, no, that's not good enough, but you're going to give us korbanos, in order to worship Hashem. V'gam miknenu yelechi manu lo sisha'er parsa ki bimenu nikach la'avodas Hashem elokeinu v'anachnu lo neda man avodas Hashem ad bo'enu shama. And also, you're going to give us all your cattle, and there's not going to be anything left, because we don't know what we're going to have to bring as korbanos to Hashem when we get to that place. V'yichazek Hashem eslei paro v'lo aval l'shalcha. What happens is that Paro's heart is hardened by Hashem, and he doesn't want to send them out. So to summarize the psukim in source number one, the idea of Choshech, or the facts behind Choshech, are that Moshe outstretches hands to create this darkness over Mitzrayim, and the darkness affected the people. They couldn't see each other, they couldn't even move, but Bnei Yisrael were not affected. And Paro tries to cut a deal with Moshe, Moshe doesn't accept the deal. He says, no, you're going to give us animals, and finally Paro says, no, I'm not going to let you go. So I want to understand the basic question of the shir tonight is, what is Choshech, and what was the purpose of it? Philosophically, psychologically, how do we understand the purpose of this makkah? It's after Arba, and it's before Makkos Bechora, so it's makkah number 9 on the list of 10 makkos. So that's the basic question, and if we come across deeper questions and more questions, we'll try to answer them and expand on it. If anybody has any questions, please ask. So I want to look at the first source of the Rishonim, which is to try to understand what exactly it was. What was Choshech? And I actually left it out on the source sheet, but I'm going to read it inside. There's a Rashi that I wanted to bring down, and the Rashi is on V'yamesh Choshech, which is the end of Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and I interpreted it as the darkness will become darker, and there's two pshatim as to the nature of Choshech. One is Rashi. He says, V'yamesh Choshech, V'yachshich alehem Choshech yoser mechashko shel laila. The darkness of Choshech was even darker than the darkness of night. V'choshech shel laila yamish v'yachshich od. And at nighttime, when it was supposed to be night, it became even darker. So one idea, one shot in V'yamesh Choshech, is that it's referring to a certain darkness in the Choshech. That it wasn't just a regular nighttime darkness, but it was even darker than the darkness of night, even during the day. And at night, it was even worse. And another pshat, which we'll explain, is V'yamesh. He said another pshat in Rashi is a medrash, and the medrash is Lashon Mimashesh Batzarayim. V'yamesh sounds like the expression of groping at noon. Shaya kafol umechupal v'av. It was a thick darkness. Ad shahaya bo mamish. It had a substance. So there's two ideas as to what Choshech could be based on Rashi, which I just read. One is that it was a darkness, but it was darker than the darkness of night. And the other possibility is that it had a certain substance to it. It was thick. Okay, so those are the two possibilities, and we'll explain what the significance of those ideas are. But if we go on in Rashi number 2 on the source sheets, He explains also how it worked. He says, "Vayhi choshech afilah shloshes yamim." There was a gloomy darkness for 3 days. Choshech shel ofel. It was a darkness of gloom. Shelo ro ish es achiv osan shloshes yamim. The first 3 days, each man cannot see his friend. So each Mitzri cannot see his family member. He cannot see his friend. The od shloshes yamim achirim choshech muchpal alza. And then there was another 3 days where the choshech became, I guess, doubled or denser, thicker. Shelo kamu ish mitachtav. It was so thick that they couldn't even stand up. Yoshev ein yachol lamo ve'omed ein yachol leishev. They couldn't move. They were incapacitated in their states. So Rashi explains that there was a progression. Whether you hold that the darkness was regular darkness but darker, or that there was a substance to it, it sounds like the first 3 days it was lighter, and then the next 3 days it got stronger. And it got thicker. So the question is, what is this? What is the nature of the progression here in the darkness? And what's the significance of the nature of the darkness, of what it was? Why couldn't it just be just regular nighttime darkness? Okay, so we'll explain that. I know that I'm going through a lot of sources here, but there's actually a method to the shir. So if we look at number 3 in the Ramban, and then we're going to get into the reasons, the ideas, and I want to look at it from 3 perspectives. The perspective of Klal Yisrael, the perspective of the Mitzrim, and Paro. So if we look at number 3 in the Ramban, it's on Pasuk Chaf Gimel. He says very similar to Rashi. He says, V'tam lo'ro ish sachiv lo kamu ish mitachtav, lo haya choshech hazeh afisas or ha-shemesh, sheba shimsham v'haya kamo laila. So he says that this darkness was not like the darkness of night, where the sun goes away. Aval haya choshech afela. It was a thick darkness. Klomar eid av me'od shiyarad min hashamayim. That it was a thick cloud of darkness that came down from the sky, from the heavens. Ki al kein omar, that's why it says in the pasuk, neteis yadacha al hashamayim, that Moshe should outstretch his hands towards the heavens. And that way that the heavens would bring down a thick darkness. Very strange. What is it? Lahorid misham chashecha gidolo nofelas alehem. So the immediate question on this is, what is this thick darkness? What does it mean that a thick darkness descended upon the people? Why didn't it just exist or come about and be created out of nothing? What does it mean that it came down from the skies? V'haisa mechabe kol ner. And this darkness, this thick darkness, it extinguished all fires. Kasher b'chol ha'chafiros ha'amukos v'chol makomos ha'choshech ha'atzum le'yizkayim ha'ner. Like there are many dark places in the world where a fire cannot exist. V'chena ovrim b'harei choshech lo yamod lahem sham ha'ner v'lo ha'esh klal. If you travel in the mountains of darkness, I don't know which mountains these are, you don't have a fire that could last. And that was the nature of this choshech. V'alkein lo ro ish achiv lo kamu ish mitachtav. That's why they couldn't move, they couldn't see each other, they couldn't light fires in order to see. V'almali kein ayu mishdamshin b'neros. Because obviously if they could light a fire and they could see, they would have done it. V'zehu she'omar kasev shalach choshech v'yachshech. Ki haya shaluach choshech lo afisas or hayom bilvad. That choshech was sent. It wasn't just the removal of light, but there was a choshech, a darkness that was sent down. It descended upon them. V'yitachin shaya eid av me'od murgash haya bo kemo mamish. This thick cloud, it had a substance to it. K'divrei rabosinu kasher hu bayam okinos k'idus Rabbi Avraham. And he says that there's sometimes these thick clouds over the Atlantic, and Ibn Ezra can attest to this truth. So we saw the Rashi, we saw the Ramban, and they both say similar ideas, that this choshech, whatever this choshech is, and we're going to explain the concept, the philosophical idea of this choshech, but whatever it is, it's not like normal darkness. Either it was so dark that it was darker than normal darkness, or the other possibility is that it was thick. It had a thickness to it. And we saw in Rashi that there was a progression, that the first 3 days it wasn't as thick or it wasn't as dark, and then the last 3 days it got darker or it got thicker. So we have a couple of questions here to answer, some of the questions are, what is this progression? And also, what's the idea behind this maka, that it was either darker than normal darkness or is thicker than a normal nighttime darkness? How do we make sense of it? Why did it have to be that way? What was the purpose of Hashem expressing this maka in this manner? Okay, those are the questions. Any other questions? Anybody? Okay, so let's get into the purpose of the Makkah, and then we're going to come back to this idea. And I promise you, we'll come back to this idea in the Shir. So we look at Rashi, and Rashi puts the purpose of the Makkah in a consistent framework. If you look at number 4 in Rashi, he says, "V'lamo hevi aleim choshech." This is one answer he gives on Pasuk Chaf Beis. Why did Hashem bring choshech upon the Mitzrayim? Shahayu b'Yisrael b'oso hador rishayim. This is a famous answer, that in that generation, there were many Jews that were evil. V'lo hayu rotzim latzes. They didn't want to leave. Umesu b'shloshes yimei afela. They died in the first 3 days of darkness. Kadesh lo yiru Mitzrayim b'mapalasam, so that the Mitzrayim would not see their downfall. V'yomru afhein lokin kamonu. And they would say, oh, the Jews are also being attacked like we're being attacked. So the first answer, or the first idea Rashi proposes for the purpose of the Makkah, is this idea that there were these Rishayim in that generation, and they needed to be killed in a way that the Mitzrayim wouldn't witness it. So they were killed in the first 3 days of the Makkah, and that way the Mitzrayim would not be able to rejoice and say that they're also affected like us. Now, who are these Rishayim? That's one question. Who are these Rishayim? Who's he referring to? So Rashi's quoting a Medrash. And the Medrash gives us a little bit more detail. And then we'll try to explain what Rashi's saying over here. So if you look at number 5, this is the Shmos Rabbah. It's really what Rashi quotes. But he doesn't give you all the information. He says, Choshech, lama hevi alein yisbarach shmo shal kadosh baruch hu. Why did Hashem bring Choshech down? She'en lefan of maso panem b'hu choker leiv uvochen klayos. That Hashem is not partial to bribes, and he knows the inside of everybody's minds. He knows what everybody's thinking. He's a mind reader. Why? Lefisha yu poshem b'Yisrael. There were those who were sinners in Yisrael. Shahayu lahen patronin min hamitriyim. They had patrons from the Egyptians. They were support from the Egyptians. V'hayu lahen sham osher v'chavod. And they had in Egypt wealth and respect. V'lo ayu rotzim latzis, and they didn't want to go out because they had a good situation. So I guess there were some individuals in Mitzrayim who had a good situation. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, im avi alehen maka b'farhesya v'yamusu, if I bring about a maka in public and they die, yomra Mitzrayim kishem she'avar leinu kach avar alehen, the Mitzrayim will say that this maka the makos in general were not just to punish the Mitzrayim, but also the Jews. That's why the first 3 days the choshech was brought in the first 3 days. Kadeshu kovrin meisehem v'lo yehu roin oson sonehen v'yumishapchen laKadosh Baruch Hu alkach, so that they were able to bury the dead. The Jewish people were able to bury the poshim, and the Mitzrayim would not see it, and they would not give shevach to Hashem. So the question is, according to Rashi, based on this answer, what was the purpose of the Makkah here, and why does the Medrash mention this point that it was? It gives us more information that it wasn't just a Russia. They weren't people who were just doing avodah zarah, but they seemed to be people who didn't want to leave because they had a certain respect and osher in society in the Mitzrayim. So why then? What was the purpose of the Makkah? Why did Hashem even have to get rid of these people? Why was it so imperative? That's one of the questions also that I want to answer. Why was it imperative that Hashem kill off these people before Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why were they not able to leave? It doesn't seem like they were so bad. They were such evil people. They weren't Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So what was so bad about them? Why couldn't they leave? And what's the meaning of the Medrash here? So before we just answer the meaning of the Medrash, one thing that I found interesting about the Medrash, which is a common misconception that Jewish people always make in the past in history, is that you see from the Medrash that as much as the Jewish person feels like they're part of the society and that they identify with their brethren in the society, but you see that in the Medrash, the Mitzrayim are still happy and they still relate to them as being separate, as being Jews. And in fact, this isn't the main idea in the Medrash, but the Medrash is showing you that why did Hashem kill off these people? Who were these people? These were people who felt a certain amount of respect and power in the society, in the Mitzri society. And if Hashem were to kill them in public, the Mitzrayim would rejoice over their death and say that Hashem affected the Jews as well. So you see that no matter what, even if a Jew's in another country and they feel like they're a brother with somebody else in the country who's not Jewish, the reality is that if they're still always going to be looked at as separate, as distinct. And you see that from the Medrash, that the Mitzrayim wouldn't say, oh, it's because they identify with our culture or because they're one of us, that's why they were killed. No, they're a Jew. And once they're a Jew, you know, they're automatically separated by the Mitzrayim. So I think that's actually an important idea just in terms of Jewish history, because a lot of times in Jewish history, when the Jews are, a lot of the Jews who were persecuted, they feel as though the, you know, the non-Jews would never do that to them, that they're part of the society, they're integral. But the reality is that, you know, if the Jew is killed or if they're always viewed as separate, and there's no way for the Jewish person to completely integrate into the society as much as he wants to or he believes. And you see that from the Medrash. The fact is that they believed or they wanted to stay because they felt a certain stature in the society. But if they were killed, the Mitzrayim would still identify them as Jews and say, oh, Hashem's affecting the Jews as well. They wouldn't see them as their own. So as much as the Jewish person wants to be part of, you know, any society, any other society, American society or, you know, like in Germany, but the reality is that you can't. It's impossible. That you're always going to be identified as distinct by the culture, by the people. But anyways, that's kind of... Yeah, they wouldn't eat lechem with the Ivrim. Even somebody like Yosef was affected. So you're right, correct. But what's the main idea? What's the purpose according to this? What's the purpose? Somebody has a question.
No, I was going to say that it's also funny that the plague specifically discriminated between the Jews and the Egyptians, and they would still say that,
exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good point, also. But it just shows you. It shows you that a Jewish person can't remove his status as a Jew in the eyes of the non-Jew, and it's just an impossibility. And I think that's the Medrash. One of the ideas in the Medrash is saying that as much as these people wanted to stay because they felt that they were part of the culture, the Egyptians would still view them as separate. But what's the main purpose of the Makkah according to this? And also, why do these people have to be removed? So I would say possibility to explain Rashi is that. The first idea is the purpose of the Makkah was to prepare the Jewish people for leaving. And this is really the Makkah before they leave. I mean, they leave right after Makkas Bechoros, and they need to be prepared. And one of the ideas that this Medrash and the Rashi are pointing out is that there was no room for people who identified with Mitzrayim in leaving when they left Egypt. Because the whole purpose of leaving Egypt was that the Jewish people were supposed to break their identification with the Mitzrayim, break their slave mentality in order to be taken out by Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the whole purpose of the Geula. And you can't, it would be dangerous to Klal Yisrael, and it would be a negative for Klal Yisrael if they went out with people who still identified with the Mitzrayim, who still identified with their culture, who still valued the culture. The whole purpose was to break that down. And if you have people who don't want to leave and who want to stay, and they're involved or included in the exodus from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, so then you have a negative, then you have a problem, because it contradicts the whole purpose of leaving, which is to break down the Jewish people's relationship to the Mitzrayim, their identification, their slave mentality. It was all an idea to take them from the Avdus of Mitzrayim and bring them into the Avdus of Hashem. So you can't do that when you have people who are still tied to the culture. Jewish people are still tied to the culture. So I think the idea of the Medrash is that they might not have been Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but in terms of the whole purpose of leaving and the whole purpose of Exodus, in a way that breaks down the Jewish people's identity or identification with the Mitzrayim, it would be compromised if these people were included. So they needed to be killed. They needed to be removed from this journey. So I think that's. But the overall approach that Rashi is taking is that the Medrash is saying that the purpose was for Klal Yisrael. It was for Klal Yisrael to prepare them for the Yetziyah. And the first step in preparing them for the Yetziyah was to remove the individuals that would prevent them from effectively leaving. And the people that would prevent them from effectively leaving were people who still identified with the culture and who were reluctant to leave. So those people had to be removed from Klal Yisrael in order that the process be smooth and the process be philosophically and psychologically attainable and possible. So that's one idea here. And Rashi's consistent, you're going to see. Because the next answer that Rashi gives, it's in the same Rashi, I just broke it up because there are two different answers. The next answer, he says, V'od shechipsu Yisrael v'ro'u es kleim. The other possibility for the Choshech is that Klal Yisrael, they went in and they looked through their stuff and they looked and they found all their gold and their silver. Ukshi Yatsu, when they left, Vayushol in Mehen, when they asked them, you know, they were supposed to take their stuff, the Mitzrayim stuff, Vayu Omrim Ein Biyadinu Klum, the Mitzrayim would say, oh, we don't have any of this stuff. Omer Lo, the Jew would say, Ani Re'isiv Beveischa of a Makum Plonihu. I already know where it is because they went into their houses during Choshech and they were able, because the Jewish people had light, and they were able to see all of their kalim, all of their utensils, and their gold and their silver. And the purpose of the Makya, according to the second reason, was that Klal Yisrael should be able to go into their houses and be able to identify where the guy is keeping his stuff. So if you went into a Mitzri's house and you found that he's keeping gold in his refrigerator and in his pantry, you say to him, listen, I know where it is, so you know, cough it up, give it to me. So that was the idea of Choshech, that's the second idea. But you have a factual problem with this, which I think also brings out the importance of the idea, which is that this didn't actually happen, at least based on the Pesukim. If you look at number 7, when they actually left, it says, it's Parak Yud Bez and Shmuel Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kidvar Moshe, Vayishalum Mitzrayim Klei Chesef Uklei Zahavu Smalos, that the Jewish people, when they were leaving, they did what Moshe commanded them to do. And they took from the Mitzrayim all these, this silver, this gold, and all their clothes. V'Hashem nasan es chena om b'nei Mitzrayim v'yashilum v'yinatzu es Mitzrayim. It says there that Hashem, he brought favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. The Jewish people were found favorable in the eyes of the Mitzrayim, and this was a nes. There was some type of hashgacha for this v'yashilum, and they gave them all their stuff. The Mitzrayim gave the Jews all their stuff v'yinatzu es Mitzrayim, and they emptied out Mitzrayim. There was nothing left. And if you look at Rashi over there, he says in number 8, v'yashilum. Even what the Jews didn't ask for, they would give them. If you say one, take two. So the Mitzrayim were more than willing to give up their stuff to the Jewish people. This was one of the ideas in Hashgacha when they left. So the question is, it's kind of a contradiction here. On the one hand, Rashi's saying that the purpose of Choshech was that the Jewish people go in there so that they know where their kalim are, and that when they leave, they could say, listen, I know where your kalim are, cough them up, give them to me. But in reality, this didn't happen. In reality, the Mitzrayim actually willingly gave the Jewish people all their stuff. And they, Rashi says that even if the Jews didn't ask for it, they gave it to them. So the question is, how do we explain this? How do we explain the Rashi over here? So what was the purpose of this Makkah, in the second answer, number 6? How do we explain this? Anybody want to try a possibility on the phone line? I think it's a glaring contradiction. So I think it fits into the same svara, the same idea. Because it wasn't about the Jewish people actually. I don't think Rashi means that it was about the reality of the situation, that they would go to them when they were leaving, as he says in the Medrash. But I think the point was that the Jewish people should feel a certain power over the Mitzrayim. And when you go into somebody's house and you look through their things and they're unable to even move, they can't see anything, they can't even move, and you go through all their stuff and you know where all their stuff is, it's very empowering to the burglar, the person who breaks in, and it's very defeats the person in the house. It's very scary for the person in the house, and it's very empowering for the person who goes into the house and looks for all the stuff. So I think Rashi, he's not saying literally that they needed this in order to get all the kalim from the Mitzrayim, but this was necessary to prepare the Jewish people for leaving. And in preparation, once again, they had to break down their slave mentality. They had to break down their feeling of being mastered by the Mitzri. And one of the ways to do that is to have the Jew go into their house and look through all their stuff and have the knowledge that if the Mitzri doesn't give up their stuff, they can get it no matter what, because they know where it is. So that was the second idea in the Makkah of Choshech that Rashi is bringing down. But he also, in bringing down these Midrashim, he's also explaining the progression of the darkness or the thickness, in that the first part of the Makkah was there for the first purpose, which was to eliminate the individuals who would compromise Yetzia, the leaving of Mitzrayim, properly. And those were the individuals, as the Medrash says, who had some type of wealth and respect in Mitzrayim. And the second, in the second progression, when it gets thicker or gets darker and they can't even move around, that's an idea in empowering the Jewish people and giving them the power that they feel a sense of control over the Mitzri's stuff, over the Mitzri's kelim. And that was necessary for them before they left, that they should, it was part of the process of breaking down the slave mentality and giving them a certain feeling of empowerment over the Mitzri. So that's Rashi, I think. Rashi's pretty consistent. So Rashi's giving you, let me just summarize Rashi. So Rashi's telling you two reasons as to the purpose of Choshech, and he also tells you that there was, the first 3 days were lighter and the second 3 days were thicker and they were darker. So the question is, what was the progression according to Rashi and what's the purpose of the Makkah? And Rashi's focusing the Makkah on Klal Yisrael. And he's saying that really the purpose was to prepare them for the Yetzia, which came about in the next Makkah, in Makkas Bechoros. And how would they be prepared? In one way, it was to eliminate the people who would prevent them from leaving properly and prevent them from Geula, from the appropriate Geula. And the second part of the Makkah was there in order that the Jewish people feel a certain sense of power over the non-Jews. And the way to do that is by letting them control the non-Jewish, the Mitzrayim's kelim and having a sense of control that I know where it is and I can get it if I need it or I want it. So that was the second idea. But really, Rashi's main idea is the purpose was to prepare the Jewish people for leaving. And the Makkah of Choshech coming right before Makkas Bechoros was that Makkah that prepared them. Okay? Any questions on that idea or any thoughts or disagreements? Okay, great. So what about the Mitzrayim? It's very nice. See, this is what bothered me about Rashi. Rashi is only focusing on the purpose of the Makkah for the Jewish people, but he's not really addressing the purpose of the Makkah for the Mitzrayim. And all the other Makkos, their focus was really on the Mitzrayim, to teach the Mitzrayim a certain idea about Hashem, or I guess to control the society in order for Hashem to break down Avodah Zarah. They're all different ideas in the Makkos. It seems like this Makkah, according to Rashi, is just focused on preparing the Jewish people to leave, but he's not really focusing on any idea in the Makkah itself for the Mitzrayim and what the purpose was for the Mitzrayim. So the next part of this year, I want to understand the Makkah in the framework of the Mitzrayim. First, we understood it in the framework of the Jewish people, that it was to prepare them for Yetzia, but now let's understand the Makkah in the framework of the Mitzrayim. So the only area that I found that helped me was this Medrash. It's not a famous Medrash, but it's a difficult Medrash. And we're going to read through it and kind of open to some sense of speculation, some different opinions. So I'll read it inside and we'll try to get an idea, a clearer idea as to what's going on. So we saw this in the Ramban, in number 9. It says, Vayet Moshe Yadol HaShemayim Vahi Choshech Afelo. Meheichan Haya Choshech Ahu. Where did this darkness come from? Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Nehemiah. See, the premise is that it wasn't just the removal of the sun, but it was a creation of darkness. It was something else. So Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Nehemiah. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mechoshech Shalmala. It came from above, the darkness of above. Shinemar, as it says in Tehillim, Yashes Choshech Sisro Svivosav Sukaso. He made darkness his hiding place about him as his booth. So the first pasuk is that it's saying metaphorically that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is surrounded by darkness, and the darkness that surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is his hiding place, which is his sukkah, his booth, that is the darkness that descended upon the Mitzrayim. So that's one possibility. Rav Nechemi says, Mechoshech shel Gehenim. He says that it's the Choshech of hell. Shneamar, Eretz, A fasa kimo ofel tzalmaves velo sidarim. A land of darkness, like darkness itself, the shadow of death without orders. Oy lo levayis shechalonosa psuchen l'so choshech. Woe is it to the house whose windows are open to this darkness. Shinamar vatofa kimo ofel. Where the light is like darkness. Or shalach mito choshech. That or, which normally is in the house, is removed by choshech. So there's a machlokas here. One side says that the choshech that descended upon the Mitzrayim was the Choshech that surrounds Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other possibility is that it was the Choshech of Gehenim. And there are two psukim that support them. And then it goes on and it says, woe is it to the house whose windows are open to this type of Choshech, to the Choshech of Gehenim, which we'll try to explain what that means. V'chenu Omer, so too it says, b'yom ridto she'ola hevalti k'sisi alav es tahom. On the day that he descended to the grave, I caused mourning, I covered the deep on his account. And it says, hovalti k'siv. I brought it upon the Rasha to cover him. So there's an idea here, I'm going to explain, that the Rishayim in Gehenim are covered by darkness. Rav Yehuda Berebi Amar, b'meh Rishayim miskasim b'gehenim b'choshech. How are the Rishayim covered in darkness in hell, in Gehenim? Chizki Amar hagigis hazu, b'meh mechasin osa b'chicheres, mino uva, k'shem shehi shalcheres, kach mechasin osa b'chicheres. Chizkiah compares it to a roof. He says that a roof that's made out of cheres, out of earthenware, out of clay, it could be made out of clay and covered with clay. So too, kach ha-rishayim, so too the rishayim, sh'nemar v'hayah b'machshach ma'aseyam, l'fichach ha-kadosh baruch hu, mechas aleyam es ha-tahom, that Hashem, he covers the rishayim in Gehenim with the tahom, the tahom is the depths, shehu choshech, which is dark, sh'nemar v'choshech al-pnei tahom. Before the creation of the world, it says V'choshech al pnei tom v'ruach elokim rachefes al pnei amayim ze gehenim. This is gehenim. Have you omer choshech sheba al mitzrayim mitoch gehenim haya? So this side holds the choshech came from gehenim. So we have two possibilities: either the choshech came from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's choshech shalmala, it's some type of choshech that surrounded Hashem, or it's a choshech that came from gehenim, and it's a choshech of the depths, and we see this choshech from Maisa Bereishis. The Choshech apnei tahom. So what is this Choshech? What's going on here? How do we understand this very difficult medrash? I'll leave it up to the women on the phone line if they have a possibility. Anybody have a possibility? What does it mean, either one, for either one? What does it mean that the Choshech that descended upon the Mitzrayim came from above? It was a Choshech that surrounded a Kadosh Baruch Hu, versus the other side that says that it's a Choshech that came from below. It came from the depths. It's a choshech of Gehenna. What is this machlokes, and what is it talking about? What is the medrash talking about? Does anybody have any possibilities or any thoughts on the area? I'm open to possibilities here for this. Okay, so I had a possibility myself. Go ahead.
Maybe the darkness from a god is like kind of the unknown.
Okay, good. Excellent. The unknown.
And like it's kind of showing them who he is, and not in that way that he just—you can't understand the depths of God and the stuff, you know.
Good, excellent. Okay, who is that? Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yes, I agree that one idea that Nicole's saying is that a darkness that surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an idea that there's an inability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an inability to penetrate, and he's surrounded by darkness. He's surrounded by a cloud, a thick cloud of darkness, right? So that's one possibility. Well, what about the idea of Gehenim? What's the idea of the Choshech HaPnei Tahom? If we look at number 10 in the Psukim, it says, the Haaretz Haisa Tova Vo, the land was all mixed up and convoluted, the Choshech HaPnei Tahom, and there was a darkness on the face of the depths, the Ruach Elokim Rachefes HaPnei Amayim, and the spirit of Hashem was hovering over the water. So this is the pasuk early on in Bereishis. It's pasuk Beis, where it's before the creation of the world, before order comes into place. We saw this earlier in the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Eretz efasa kmo ofel tzalmaves v'lo sedarim." It compares the land of Gehenim to the land of darkness, like darkness itself, the shadow of death without orders, sedarim. There's no orders. So what is the darkness of the depths to home? So another possibility, we answered the first idea, which was Nicole's idea, but the other possibility is that the darkness of the Tahom is an idea that when a person's removed, when man is removed from order, from creativity, from the world, from seeing Chachma, from seeing how God set up the universe and set up the world, so he's in a state of darkness. He's removed from the pleasure of ideas. He's removed from the pleasure of witnessing and sensing creativity, And that's the idea of the darkness of Tahom. And it's the darkness that preceded God's creation, because it's a darkness because of the fact that it's removed from order. It's removed from seeing Chachmas Hashem in the universe and seeing the order of the universe. And it's a darkness that preceded the creation of the world. And that is the darkness of, I think, Gehenim, which is an idea in Gehenim, which is the opposite of Olam Haba and Gan Eden. We say that Gan Eden Olam Haba is where a person exists in a state where they're getting pleasure from the Ziv HaShechina, and they're getting pleasure from appreciating Chachmas Hashem and appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea of Gehenim is the opposite. It's an existence removed from pleasure, that pleasure, the pleasure of knowledge, the pleasure of Yiras Hashem, of Avas Hashem. That is Gehenim. Gehenim is the opposite. It's darkness, because it's removed from, it's a removal from seeing the world, seeing order in the world, seeing Chachma, being able to perceive it. So there's two ideas here. One possibility is what Nicole said, which is that the darkness that descended upon the Mitzrayim was the darkness that is an idea in man's recognition that he can't perceive Hashem. He's removed from Hashem. He's unable to understand Hashem. And that's the idea of darkness. You can't see through this darkness. It's a thick darkness. But the other possibility of the darkness is that it was a darkness that the people were almost removed from ideas and removed from the possibility of witnessing the world and sensing the world through their eyesight. They couldn't see it anymore. They were in complete darkness and they were immobile. And those are two different possibilities and two different ideas. But what's the purpose of this? How did this... Well, why? What idea is trying to be demonstrated to the Mitzrayim here?
But also, the first idea is true for everybody.
True. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Never, you know.
I agree. So why is it? So I know. So why is it being presented here by Choshech? I agree with you 100%. So
maybe God is taking away their ability to you know, whatever potential we have of seeing, you know, ideas about God. He was taking away that ability, either their bechira or maybe just their.
So why was he doing that? That's the question. Why was he doing that?
Yeah, the knowledge to have knowledge.
So why was he doing that? That's a good. Yeah, I agree with you. I happen to agree with you that this is an idea that you know is amongst all man, you know, all humanity. So why over here? Why is this mentioned? So I think the key is, I think that the nature of this makkah was also a preparation. It was a preparation for the Jewish people to leave, but I think it was a preparation for the Mitzrayim for the next makkah. Why do they have to be prepared for the next makkah? So if you look in number 11, it says in Yud Beis, "Avarti be'aret Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh v'kesi kol b'chor be'aret Mitzrayim me'adom v'ad behemo uvechol Elohei Mitzrayim aseh shvatim ani Hashem." That Hashem was going to pass through Mitzrayim, and he was going to destroy all the bechors me'adom v'ad behemo, and all the gods of Mitzrayim would be destroyed by Hashem. Hashem would do justice to them. And if you look in Rashi, says Shvatim Ani Hashem, Ani Va'atzmi, V'loya De'Shliach, that Hashem would do it himself and not through a malach. And we say this in the Haggadah. We say that by Makas Bechoros, Ani V'lo Saraf, Ani V'lo Malach, that this idea is present in Makas Bechoros that doesn't exist in the other Makos. There's an idea of a revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Makas Bechoros that doesn't exist in the other Makos. In the other Makos, it's more indirect. It's through Malachim. But over here, it was really Hashem himself. And in fact, the Jewish people were instructed to stay inside. They were not prepared in this way because this wasn't a revelation for Klal Yisrael. It was a revelation for the Mitzrayim. So on the one hand, Makas Bechoros was really a punishment. It was an onesh for the Mitzrayim. But on the other hand, it was a revelation that there was some deep idea about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that was being expressed and revealed to them in the punishment, in the onesh of Makas Bechoros. So if you use that as a premise, I think that the Medrash kind of makes sense. The idea of the Medrash is that they needed to be prepared, at least in a minimal way, because they weren't on a high level, but they had to be prepared for this revelation. It's inappropriate for man and a woman to be in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not have some idea of, you know, some idea of where you stand relative to God, some idea of being aware that you're removed from knowledge of God. Or so there had to be an act of preparation of the Mitzrayim for Makas Bechoros, which was a revelation. On the one hand, it was a punishment, but on the other hand, there was a revelation here. It was a unique revelation, similar to Har Sinai, where you see that there was a fear that was created, but also Klal Yisrael had to prepare. And in Har Sinai, it was a revelation, but it was a positive revelation. It was a revelation with a positive, Klal Yisrael getting the Torah. Over here, there was a revelation with a negative, with Onesh. And the Mitzrayim had to be, they had to be prepared through Choshech for this idea, for witnessing this revelation. And there's two ways in which, I think there's two possibilities to how they were prepared. One possibility is what Nicole was saying, which is that they had to recognize before Makas Bechoros, they had to recognize through the Makkah of Choshech their lack of understanding. It put them in their place in terms of their ability to understand things, to see things, to comprehend. And that's one possibility, and to comprehend the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that was one possibility. And the other possibility, I think, is that they had to be removed from ideas, from knowledge. They couldn't get the pleasure of knowledge because the idea was that when the Mitzrayim were, you know, when they were in the light, they weren't gaining or they didn't appreciate the ideas. They were over the Avodah Zarah. They didn't really appreciate the true concepts of God's unity, of God's existence. They just ignored it. So I think the idea is that they had to be removed from knowledge, at least temporarily, in order to break down their false ideas and prepare them for this revelation. So by putting them in the darkness of the Tehom, like Gehenim, and removing them from ideas in Chachma, it broke down their false ideas. And in that sense, because they were removed from any, from witnessing nature, from gaining any knowledge at all, and in doing so, it prepared them for witnessing the revelation. So there's two acts of preparation. One act was that they recognize that they can't perceive God and that they're limited in their perception, and only with that mindset could they, you know, could they sense or experience this revelation. And the other possibility was that their ideas had to be broken down. They had to be in a state of darkness from ideas in order to prepare them for this revelation. Okay? All right, the last idea in the shiur, so there's really three parts. The first part is the Mitzrayim. The Jewish people, that they were preparing to leave. The second part is the Mitzrayim, that they were prepared for the mass, for the revelation of Makas Bechoros. And that's the idea of the thickness of the cloud, that the cloud's coming from the heaven, Shamayim. And the last idea is by Paro himself. And if you look in 14, it says, Vayomer lo Paro lech me'alai yishamer lecha al tosef for os panai ki biyomer oscha panai tamos. After Choshech, right after, Paro says, get out of here to Moshe, and he says that if you see me again, you're going to be killed. I'm going to kill you. He threatens Moshe. And Moshe says, Vayomer Moshe, kein dibarta lo osif od ra'os panecha. Moshe says, you've spoken properly. I will not see your face again. So Rashi says over there, number 15, he says, kein dibarta, yafe dibarta, uvizmano dibarta, emes shelo osif od ra'os panecha. So he's affirming what Paro is saying. Paro is kind of threatening Moshe, and Moshe is saying, you're right, I'm not going to see you again. So why was it important that Moshe not see Paro again? What's the significance that he's saying, I'm not going to see you again? Why couldn't Moshe see Paro again? So the Ramban, there's two approaches. The Ramban and the Baal Turim. The Ramban gives one approach, but the Ramban says like this, in number 16. He says, what does it mean that Moshe didn't see Paro? He says, Pam acheres acharei tesi, ki b'machas b'choros lo ra'o. First he says, yes, that Moshe never saw him in Makas Bechoros. Kitam ba'yikrol Moshe Aaron. What does it mean that Paro called for Moshe and Aaron after Makas Bechoros? Halach ad Pesach Besam mitzaak bechoshech kumut umitoch ami. That he was screaming outside the house, get out of here, but he never actually saw Moshe and Aaron. Osha shalach lahem al yana mitrim shenemar bahem vatechazak mitrim alam lemar l'shalcha ben aretz. Or it wasn't Paro himself, but he sent the mitrim to kick out the Jewish people. So one idea the Ramban is saying is that there's pshat, that Moshe and Aaron didn't see Paro. But I don't understand, why is that necessary? But he says, V'yitachin shliomar lo osif od ro'os panecha behechalecha, in your palace, shelo avo od ani elecha. So the other way of learning the Ramban says is that I'm not going to come to you. V'chach amru be'elish mos rabba yofe amarta al tosef ro'os panai od ani eni bo'etzlecha ata bo'etzli. The other idea is that, no, that it's not that I'm not going to see you again, but I'm not going to go see you, you're going to come see me. So we're going to explain the first pshat in the Ramban. What does it mean? Why was it necessary for Moshe and Aaron to not see Paro? But the second idea is also an idea in preparing Paro for Makas Bechoros. Why? Because what Moshe and Aaron are saying is that Paro had to give up on his sense of kingship, his sense of power. And the idea of Paro having to go see Moshe and Aaron as opposed to Moshe and Aaron seeing him is an expression that Paro had to recognize that he's not the king, that he's lacking in his power, and that was necessary here. Moshe's giving him this insight that this was necessary before Paro could witness the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Makas Bechoros, that he had to accept the fact that there was something lacking in his Malchus, that relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, it's nothing. So the first idea that the Ramban is saying, or one idea, is that the idea of Kein Dibarta, that Paro went to Moshe and Aaron, but Moshe and Aaron don't go to Paro, is that Paro, there had to be a breakdown in Paro's Malchus prior to Makas Bechoros in order for Paro to be prepared for the Makkah. But the other is the Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim says a little bit differently, and I'm going to read it inside. This is the last idea. Lo osif od, beiz hacha. There's two of them where it says lo osif od. Ve'idach ve'lo osif od, lahakos, sheremez lo, shekfar kolu kolamakos, ve'lo yosef lahakoso, elamakas becharos, shehaisa al yedei Hashem levado. This is a remez that this would be the last makah, meaning makas becharos. This was after Choshech, and that the makah of becharos would be through Hashem himself. So what does that mean? It means that by the Baal HaTurim, the Baal HaTurim is pointing out that Paro, he had to accept the fact by Makos Bechoros that this didn't, that there was no involvement of Moshe and Aaron in the Makkah. And the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Makos Bechoros demanded that Paro, or at least it demanded this, that this distortion not be created, this distortion not exist, that Moshe and Aaron were involved. And that's the idea that Moshe and Aaron would not see Paro in Makos Bechoros. And it's an idea that Paro had to recognize that this last Makkah would not involve them in any way, that it would only be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in doing so, it prepared Paro for the Makkah. So we really have, let me just summarize this here. There's really three different steps, or three different ideas in the Makkah. One is the idea for Klal Yisrael, is to prepare them to leave, and the way it prepared them to leave was A, to remove the individuals who would compromise their leaving, and B, in order to give them a sense of empowerment over the Mitzri, that they knew where their stuff was, and that they had a certain sense of power. The second idea was in the Mitzrim themselves, that Choshech prepared them for the revelation of Makas Bechoros, and it taught them an idea in humility, in either their lack of ability to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perceive God, or the second possibility is that it removed them from their thoughts, and it removed them from the world of thoughts, in order to break them down, to prepare them to properly witness this revelation. And the last was Paro himself, that Paro either had to accept a downgrading of his malchus, and that's what Moshe and Aaron are telling him, or the idea was that Paro had to also recognize that the last makkah would not involve man at all, that it was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no room for man, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself, and that was the last idea in preparing Paro. So the makkah of Choshech is a makkah of preparation. It's a preparation to leave, preparation for Makas Bechoros, which was unique in that it was a revelation, preparation for Paro as well. So that's really the idea in the shiur tonight, the main idea of Makas Choshech. Anybody have any questions or want to add anything to the shiur? Please do so. Okay, if not, everybody have a good night and have a good Shabbos. And next week.
That was really good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.